There is no beer, there is no work. Just as an incidental technical point, this is called transitional drinking. Drinking to mark the transition from one bit of the day to the other. In England, we drink because we've finished working. The Surrey drink because they've started. To put this all another way, when Margaret Thatcher died, she was not buried with all her wine glasses and a corner shop's worth of booze. We think this normal. In fact, we'd think it odd if she had been. But we are the odd ones. We're the weirdos. We're the eccentrics. For most of known human history, political leaders have been buried with all things needful for a good post-mortem piss-up. That goes all the way back to King Midas, to proto-dynastic Egypt, to the shamans of ancient China, and, of bloody course, to the Vikings. Even those who have long stopped breathing like to get trolleyed now and then. Just ask the Tariki tribe of Kenya, who go and pour beer onto their ancestors' graves, just in case. Drunkenness is near universal. Almost every culture in the world has booze. The only ones that weren't too keen, North America and Australia, have been colonized by those who did. And at every time and in every place, drunkenness is a different thing. It's a celebration, a ritual, an excuse to hit people, a way of making decisions or ratifying contracts, and a thousand other peculiar practices. When the ancient Persians had a big political decision to make, they would debate the matter twice, once drunk and once sober. If they came to the same conclusion both times, they acted. That is what this book is about. It's not about alcohol per se, it's about drunkenness, its pitfalls and its gods. From Ninkasi, the Sumerian goddess of beer, to the 400 drunken rabbits of Mexico. A couple of points should be made before we set off. First, this is a short history. A complete history of drunkenness would be a complete history of humanity and require much too much paper. Instead, I've decided to pick certain points in history to see how people went about getting sozzled. What was it actually like in a Wild West saloon, or a medieval English alehouse, or a Greek symposium? When an ancient Egyptian girl wanted to go out on the lash, what exactly did she do? Of course, each evening is different, but it's possible to get a good, if hazy, notion. History books like to tell us that so-and-so was drunk, but they don't explain the minutiae of drinking. Where was it done? With whom? At what time of day? Drinking has always been surrounded by rules, but they rarely get written down. In present-day Britain, for example, though there is no law in place, absolutely everybody knows that you must not drink before noon, except for some reason at airports and cricket matches. But in the middle of the rules is unruly drunkenness, the anarchist at the cocktail party. She, now I think it's a she, deities of drink usually are, is the one I want to watch. Ideally, I'd like to arrest her and take her mugshot, but I'm not sure it's possible. At least then, when that curious alien asked me what drunkenness was, I would have something to show. Chapter 1. Evolution. We must recall that nature's laws are generally sound. And everywhere, for some good cause, some alcohol is found. There's alcohol in plant and tree. It must be nature's plan that there should be, in fair degree, some alcohol in man. A.P. Herbert, 1956. Before we were human, we were drinkers. Alcohol occurs naturally, and always has. When life began 4 billion and something years ago, there were single-cell microbes happily swimming around in the primordial broth, eating simple sugars and excreting ethanol and carbon dioxide. Essentially, they were pissing beer. Fortunately, life progressed, and we got trees and fruit. And fruit, if left to rot, quite naturally ferments. Fermentation produces sugar and alcohol, and fruit flies seek it out and gobble it up. It is not known whether fruit flies get drunk in any way that we humans might understand. They are, alas, incapable of talking, or singing songs, or driving cars. All we know for sure is that if a male fruit fly has his romantic advances spurned by a cruel and disdainful female fruit fly, he ups his alcohol consumption dramatically. Unfortunately for animals, alcohol doesn't occur naturally in large enough quantities to allow for a proper party. Well, sometimes it does. There's an island off Panama where the mantled howler monkey can feast happily on the fallen fruit of the astracarium palm, 4.5% ABV. They get boisterous and noisy, and then they get sleepy and stumbly, and then sometimes they fall out of trees and injure themselves. If you adjust their algorithm.